That is a true song. God never fails. Thank the Lord for that fact. No matter how long you've been trusting Him, you know how some things kind of wear down. You get something at the beginning, it seems like it's good. Then as it gets older and older, it wears down. You can't trust it. And when you first got those new cars and you could trust them and you can depend upon them, they wouldn't fail. You can just go out there and start them. But about 20 years later, it's a little different story, isn't it? But with the Lord, it's not. It gets better and better. You trust Him more and more. And He never fails. He's never failed us before, and He never will. You can search a whole broad space of earth around and search it again. You'll never find a man, woman, boy, a girl that's trusted the Lord in vain. I thank the Lord for that. I'd like for you to turn with me to Luke, the 15th chapter. I'm going to read a very familiar text. If we're going to give a title to this, it would be, What Have You Eaten? And I want to say that, you know, over the last week or so, I haven't been the best. And one of the first things that we do oftentimes when somebody gets sick, one of the things that we do is we make an assessment of the case. Now, some of us are kind of like, we make our own diagnosis of our problems, and we can go on Google and we can turn to figure out what the symptoms are and determine what it may be. But one of the simple things that we do when somebody is sick is we ask them, what have you eaten? What have you, you know, did you eat something that made you sick, or did you? It's one of the simple questions that we ask ourselves, and we begin to look at it. And I thought about how we have the healthcare system, what they want to call the Obamacare and all that, and comprehensive healthcare system. And what I'm learning more and more, and we probably already knew this, is that it's not about having health care as it is about us taking care of what God has given us. So in other words, we can prevent some of the problems that we have without medication if we just change what we ate. All right? Now, I'm saying that to me. I'm preaching to myself as well. So a lot of the, for instance, diabetes, heart problems, those kinds of things are because of what we eat. All right? And so when it comes to spiritual matters, when we look at things spiritually speaking, some of the problems that we have may be because of what we're eating or what we're not eating. There was some story on the internet this week about some girl in Great Britain or somewhere that I didn't read it, but I just kind of read the headlines of it. And she had not eaten anything but ramen noodles for like 13 years. Now, I don't know how you could have done that and how a parent could have let that happen. My child would not eat nothing. You're going to eat this food, broccoli, green beans, and you're going to eat whatever it is, or you ain't going to eat anything. Now, is that too hard? No, well, that's how we did it in my household. You ate what was set before you, and you learned. Now, as they got older, if it was just something that they didn't like, then we tried to accommodate in some kind of ways. But in essence, you're not going to eat. I'm not going to buy you ramen noodles for 13 years and kill you by what you're eating. Because you're not doing them a service, all right? When they're under your jurisdiction, now you're 18 and you're out on your own, you can eat all the ramen noodles you want to eat. You can eat whatever you want to do, but while you're under my jurisdiction, you're going to eat a healthy, balanced meal, because it is for your benefit. It is for your health that you eat this. And so in the same way we look at it and we see these things happen in a natural sense, that naturally we have to eat a balanced meal. We have something green, we have some starch, we have all of these things that on the food pyramid that we've learned is supposedly good for you. But still, there's a lot of processed food. We eat wieners, we eat hot links, we eat all this processed food that has an effect on our bodies. And some of the problems that we have as far as diabetes, heart disease, weight gain, all these things are a result of what we're putting into our bodies. Now, Lord, help us. Now, this is not just talking about what we eat, but it's good to know, particularly for us that want to trust the Lord for the healing of our body. We all trust the Lord for the healing of our body, don't we? Everybody. And so the whole point that we do is, Lord, let me do what I need to do to keep myself healthy. Now, you know what? That's gotten a hold of me since I've been a little bit sick this week. So I'm kind of preaching where I am and preaching where the Lord, what the Lord showed me. So you can look completely healthy and be sick. And there's something wrong. And you know there's something. Maybe people on the outside don't know that there's something wrong, but you know that there's something wrong. And so in that is in the natural sense. Now, when we make that application in the spiritual sense, there are people that are sick spiritually. And the reason they're sick is because of what they did and because of what they ate or what they refused to eat, spiritually speaking. So the Lord has, in many ways, has given us what we would say is a balanced spiritual meal. He has pastors. He said, I have chosen those pastors after my own heart that shall give them the word from me. So it is our responsibility for us as pastors to give food from the Lord. Do you realize that there are times that I know that what I preach and what I'm giving is not, this is a lot of fluff. We're going to put a lot of sugar in this one. And it's going to be a lot, I say fluff, I don't mean that in a bad way. But this is light. We're going to have something light. Have you ever made dinner and it wasn't really heavy and it really wasn't something that would stick with everybody, but it was something quick and it was light and they needed it. You need a little dessert every now and then, don't we? We need something that tastes good, something that allows us to eat, that gives us the motivation to eat the broccoli. You eat the broccoli, you can have the piece of cake. You eat these peas, and you can't have peas until you can't have this brownie or whatever it is that the child really likes. You can't have that until you eat these peas. But we give them the balanced meal, and then we give them a little treat or a little reward for eating it, don't we? Well, the Lord does the same thing, I believe. The Lord gives us sometimes messages that are not so heavy. And it's something that we can easily swallow. And it's something that we need, and I really need it. And then He gives us something that, look, this is, I know it's not cooked the way that you like it, medium, rare, or whatever it is. We're going to cook this until it's done. And you have a steak, and you have to chew on it. And you have to chew on it, kind of like the cows do. And you go and sit under a shade tree, so to speak, and you burp it back up and you chew on it again until it gets soft and you can swallow it, right? Well, the Lord does that with us sometimes in a spiritual sense. But what we have to understand is everything that the Lord gives us is for to build up our spiritual strength. And we're to receive it, even the hard places, even the hard times that the Lord gives us. He's going to give us that. He's going to give us some steak, and sometimes it's going to be kind of tough. He's going to give us meat, you know, as the Scripture says, you have need of meat and you're still drinking milk. We don't need to do that. Meat is for those that are of age, right? So there are going to be times. And He's not going to take it and stuff it down our throat. This isn't what we did to our children, is it? When we begin to transition them from baby food to real food, we still put it in the blender and spin it around or mash it up real and gave them a little bit at a time. The Lord loves us like we love our children. He's not going to force anything down our throat and choke on it. We're not going to choke on it. But when we get it, we're to nibble on it. Take a little bit. I remember feeding our children out of our plates. Mashed potatoes. Put a little gravy in the mashed potatoes and take a spoon and hand it to them. I won't tell you what else we did, but and mashed it up a little bit. Y'all know, parents know what we do with our children. And children don't want us to tell it. I'm not going to tell it in public. But we take a little bit of it and we stick it in their mouth and they eat it. All right? And they get accustomed to it. And as far as they're concerned, that's the best thing they ever tasted. Most of the time. All right? So the Lord does us that way. We can eat what is good for us and He gives it to us. And maybe some strong meat a little bit at a time. Not all the time, but a little bit at a time. And the Lord, and we grow up and we become strong and healthy and our teeth, we cut our teeth on it. And so with that in mind, I want us to read a little bit and how the Lord is concerned about what we eat. Let's say with the 15th chapter of Luke, and let's start at the 11th verse. Okay. Let's get the whole story. And 15 and 11 of Luke. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that befalleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. All right, I want to stop there for a moment. Now, this is a story that we've all heard, the prodigal son. You know what's going to happen, but I want to bring out a few points here that I think are very relevant for us to understand. This young man, like all of us, at some point, you know, when I was 16, 15, and my parents, my father worked as hard. And I just thought, I can't hardly wait till I'm 18. Of course, you didn't tell Dad that. And I'm out of here. I'm going to college and I'm going to get my own, I'm going to have the freedom that I want. I'm getting out of here and I'm not going to work so hard. And I didn't realize, you know, in retrospect, the best thing that my father could have done is what he did. He taught me how to be a man. He taught me how to work. He taught me how to do things that I hated, because most of the things that he wanted me to do, I hated doing. You had to learn how to do them and do them with a smile, because he wasn't going to take anything else. You weren't going to frown and you weren't going to murmur and complain about it. You weren't going to complain about it to him. And so you just did it and you learned how to do it. And so that has been a beneficial thing. It's one of the best lessons my father has ever taught me. I didn't know it when I was a child. I didn't know it was a good lesson, but it's one of the best lessons that he's taught me, because it's helped me on down through the years, all right, to do things and just buckle down and do it whether you want to do it or not. Whether you like it or not, you do it. And so when I was 18, I wanted to get out and just explore the world and do what it is. And when I got out there, I realized it really is not all that it's cracked up to be. I got out to college, and you know, when you're going out and you're seeing what everybody else is doing, and you're seeing how other folks are getting themselves in trouble, and you're stepping right on the threshold of doing it yourself, you realize, wait a minute, the Lord had to get a hold of my heart. The Lord had to pull me back. And so this young man here, like all of us, no doubt have been tempted to go in a different direction, whether we did or not. We've been tempted. I just need freedom. I'm tired of this bondage. I'm tired of the laws of my father's house. And Father, you have given me an inheritance. Give it to me. And now I'm of age. I'm out of here. So this is what this man was doing. He was saying, listen, Lord, Father, give me what is due me. And now let me go and have the freedom and the liberty and all the enjoy life that I couldn't do in your house. And so he went out there, and after he got out there, he saw that life is pretty easy. I wish I was back home now. I got to pay my own rent. I got to get my own food. I got to do all these things that I didn't have to worry about. Yeah, I had to go out and work, but I didn't have to worry about paying rent. I didn't have to worry about, when I was in my father's house, whether or not there were going to be meat on the table. There was always food on the table. I never went a day hungry. I might have ate something I didn't want that day. I might have had to have some beans and cornbread again. But we had something to eat and our stomachs were full all the time, and that came from my father. All right? He was out there working and slaving and putting forth all the effort to make certain that his family was well taken care of. And now this is what happened in this young man's case. This young man says, let me get out of here. Now he's on his own and he realized that there is a famine in the land. He goes out and what he does? I'm going to have a little bit of fun. He wasted all his substance, all the money that his father gave him, he wasted it on riotous living, doing what he knew wasn't right. All right? Now, there are a lot of us and a lot of you that have been in that kind of a position, isn't it? And then what happened? There was a famine in the land. And so what he did, he went out and he had to get some kind of a job. Now, wouldn't you rather be at home working for your dad and saying, Dad, what are we going to eat tonight? But now what you're doing, you've got to go and find the only job. Jobs are scarce. You've got to find the only job that you can to sustain just you. Now, you know, it was pretty bad because he didn't have a family. It was just him that he had to sustain. And the man sent him out into the fields to feed hogs. Now, I know something firsthand about feeding hogs. It's not something somebody told me. I didn't read it in a book. I fed them. From the time I can remember until I got out of high school almost. And I hated every bit of it. It was one of the things, I wasn't born to be a farmer. I was born to be something else. But I'm so glad that the Lord allowed my father to teach me how to feed a hog. Have you ever seen a hog eat? I've seen them eat some of the most disgusting things. And do you know what? They eat it with conviction. This is why this man was feigned to have eaten the husk that the swine did eat. When you see a hog eat something, that hog is eating it like it's the best thing that you ever tasted. Now, again, this is not hearsay. This is firsthand knowledge. And I'm talking about some of the nastiest, stinkiest stuff that we could lay. Oh, I used to have to wear gloves. There were some things that my father worked at a packing house, and there were some, I'm not even going to explain to you what it was. But we would have, they'd get it in barrels from the packing house. We'd have to wear gloves in order to keep it from getting on our hands. If it got on our hands, you couldn't get it off. Soak them in Clorox, do toothpaste, you do whatever it is. So you made sure it didn't get on your hands. And those hogs ate it like it was steak and potatoes. So I can see how this man would have desired to eat what the hogs were eating, because the hogs made it seem like it was good. And he was hungry. And let me tell you, saints, what you and I must do, we must live a life so that what we're eating, spiritually speaking, somebody else wants it. Don't go around complaining about what's happening and I've got to do this and this is what is required. No, you are saved, and what you need to do is say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that puts his trust in him. So when you eat these spiritual things, Lord, help me to eat what you give me, whatever it is, like a hog, so to speak. You understand what I'm saying? Eat it with conviction. Eat it. There's a billboard, I believe. I don't know, Carl's Jr. or something. That said, eat like you mean it. Have you seen that? I think I've seen that. Maybe it's something I made up. But we need to eat, spiritually speaking, like we mean it. Eat it with conviction. All right? Now, first of all, this man was hungry, and he was willing to eat this thing, this food that wasn't very nutritious food. He was willing to eat it because of what his environment. He was willing to eat it because, and he was the only reason that he was in a place of hunger was because of rebellion. You understand what I'm saying? At his father's house, if he stayed at his father's house rather than rebelled against what is the restrictions and the restraints that his father put on him, if he'd have determined that I'm just going to stay here and just suck in my gut, so to speak, and just make this and do the best that I can with it, he'd still been at his father's house eating a fatted calf. But he chose to rebel. And when a person chooses to rebel, they go down, they riot, and then he went someplace, went away where nobody could actually monitor him. Because I want to do what I want to do. I want to do it how I want to do it. And I don't want this conscience setting on some neighbor that's going to tell mama or daddy what I did. I'm going way away to a far country that nobody knows me, and I can do what I want to do. I want to try some things in life. And when he tried those things in life, where did it take him? It took him all the way down to the hog pen. To the point that he wanted to eat something that wasn't fit to be eaten. The only reason you give it to a hog is because it's not fit for humans. And so that's where he was. And the reason he was there is because he rebelled against the restraints and the restrictions that his father had placed there in his home. If you're going to live here, son, this is what you're going to have to do. Dad, I don't want to do that. Well, all right, you have the option to go. And he went and he did that. And when he found out that it wasn't like he thought it would be, and he went all the way down, you know what? Let me tell you, the devil is going to tell you that cut off the restraints, cut off the restrictions that you have. Go out and do what you want to do. Have fun, because you can't have fun if you're going to continue to live like this. You can't have fun. Every devil ever told you that? And then you go out there and do it, and what do you have? What do you have when you come back home? You have all of those memories, all of those experiences, all of those regrets that I wish I had never partaken in them, because I can't forget about them. All those things that the Lord, yes, the blood of Jesus covers it, but the blood of Jesus never takes away our memory. And so and that's one of the things that drives me continually toward doing what I know is right, because since I've been saved, I don't have any regrets. The most regrets that we hear people say, and I don't believe it's a cliche, is that I didn't do it sooner. I didn't get serious enough about it sooner. Those are the regrets that we have, right? And now, I don't have anything to hide. But we have all kind of things, skeletons in the closet back there when we went to that far country. And we wasted our lives with riotous living and the substance with riotous living. We got all kinds of things that we don't want to talk about. And we don't need to talk about. Leave it back there. Bury it. It's in the past. Bury it and leave it there. And when the devil tries to bring it back to your mind, you don't dwell on it. Lord, help us. All right? But what happens is you have a desire when you rebel against God and against something that the Lord has laid down, then what happens is you open yourself up to eat something that's not fit to be eaten, spiritually speaking. Because you're around folks, you never should have been in the hog pen. The dad, when he went back home, daddy didn't kill a hog, he killed a fatted calf. And let me tell you, I know something about cows too. They're much cleaner animals than hogs are. They're picky eaters. They're not going to just eat anything that you set before them. They're going to eat what they're supposed to eat. Now, a hog, I don't know how God made it, but a hog is different than that. And dad, his father, when he went back home, he killed a fatted calf. All right? And now, let me tell you, also, if you read on down, and all right, let's see, where were we? If you read on down, you'll find out that he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and here I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father's house and say unto him, Father, I'm just going to humble myself. I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Make me as one. Now this man went down. This is where he should have gone down the first time. You're either going to go down in humility or you're going to go down, period. One way or the other, you're going to go down. This man went down into a hog pen and wanted to eat what the hogs were eating. Now, that's humiliating, isn't it? Where all he had to do in the first place was go down in humility and say, Father, you know what? I was wrong. I have sinned against you. I have sinned against, and I'm not even worthy to be called your son. And if he had done that at the beginning, Lord, Father, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to humble myself before you anyway, he never would have been in that kind of a place. That he's just willing to eat anything. And so, you know, I see it in this way with some people. Some people get spiritually sick. They want to have their freedom. And to me, there's freedom in the Lord. You know, I'm going to tell you, I don't do nothing I don't want to do. And that's really the truth. That's really a true statement. And that's what freedom really is. I am not forced to do anything. The Lord doesn't force. He gives me the option and the opportunity to do it. Now, if I want to continue in His graces, then I'm going to do it. And I find a way in my own self. I bow down before the Lord. Now, I'm not going to say that there are not things that are hard to do, that I have to pray about. I have to say, Lord, give me a willingness to do this because it's difficult. But I'm going to do it by the grace of God. But I want you to make me willing. Make me willing to do it. So ultimately, I don't do anything that I don't want to do. Ultimately, I want to do everything that I do for the Lord. Everything. I want to serve Him. I want to make it to heaven. I'm going to do that. And this is what it takes for that to happen. You know what? Look at it like this. Every one of us go to work. The majority of us have gone to work at some point in our lives that are of age. And did you want to go every day? You didn't want... How many people here, I want to see your hands. That every day that you had to work, you wanted to be there. All right. No, there are days that we don't really want to be there, right? But we know but we want to eat, don't we? And so why do we go to work? So we can eat. Because we need lights on, we need the roof over our heads, and we need to eat. All right, I'm going to move a little further. And so there are some times that we have to. Let's turn to 2 Peter 2 and 18. Sometimes we have to do spiritually things that maybe we didn't prefer to do initially. All right? 2 Peter 2, 18 through 22. Read that, please. When they speak, great swelling words of vanity. Lured through the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped, yes. While they promised them liberty, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. So they're promising somebody liberty, and they themselves are servants of corruption. All right? For whom a man is overcome, of the same is brought into bondage. For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled again, therefore, therein, and overcome, read, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Saints, when you get saved, the option is not to go back. There is no option. Now, when you close that back door and you seal it, and this is one of the things that I say, let me tell you, if we said that about, we teach that on marriage. When you get married, that's yours. And if both people have that level of understanding, we close the back door, and now we got to get in here and we got to work through this thing. When there's a problem, we work through it. And we realize that I'm not going to leave you and go and get somebody else. And in the same way, when we realize here that when you give your heart to the Lord, there is no option of going back. I'm not going to go back. Now, it might be hard, and I might have to close this door, and I might have to find a closet by myself, and I might have to pray, and I might have to cry, but I'm not going back. I'm not going to do it. There is no back door. All right, so when the devil comes to you and says, listen, you're under all this bondage, what y'all teaching over there on Riley Crest? You can't do this and you can't do that. I can do whatever it is that I go just where I want to. I do whatever I please. But sometimes, let me tell you the truth about it. Sometimes I have to say, Lord, give me a willingness to be willing. Help me to be willing to be willing. Have you ever had to pray that way? Lord, I don't want to do it. But help me to be willing to do it. And you do that. And let me tell you, every time, God will give you the grace to stay saved no matter what it is that you're facing, no matter what they're doing, no matter what she's doing or he's doing or they're doing, what they're saying, it doesn't matter. What matters is there is no option for me to go back. No option. Heaven is where I started, and I won't stop until I get there. I won't stop until I hear those pearly gates close behind me by the help and the grace of God. All right? So they're going to promise you liberty. Why do people turn back? Why do you turn back? You've gone too far to turn back now. How long have you been saved? Or just a week? That's too far to go back. You just got saved today? That's too far to go back. You know what you left. Keep going by the help and the grace of God. You'll make it. You can make it. All of us have had struggles. There's nobody here that hasn't had a struggle. There's nobody here that hasn't had to fall down on their face before the Lord and beg the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. But let me tell you, when you get your eyes off of what God really wants you to do, and when you begin to rebel and you begin to see what all your friends are doing and how much liberty they have and how much liberty they promise you by what they're doing, you'll take your eyes off of Jesus and what you know it should be on, and you, while they promise you liberty, well, they're doing it and seem to be getting away with it. Well, are they? Are they? Or do you want to go a way that you know you can get there, or do you want to go a shortcut? You've heard me say it before. How many times have we taken shortcuts and it took us much longer to get there because we didn't really know where we were going? Don't take a shortcut. There is no shortcut to heaven. Jesus is the shortcut. Humility is the shortcut. When you go down, when you keep going down and down and down, you can get there. It seems like you can get there faster. The more humble you become, the faster you get there. The faster you get through the trial. So if there's a shortcut, it's humility. I call it humility. I call it more of the grace of God. Lord, help us. All right? So they promise you liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption. All right? And so they're teaching you to go back. Don't do it. Don't do it. And say, that's not an option for me. All right? The Lord is going to come. And he ain't going to tell us. He's not telling us. Jesus don't even know when he's coming. He's not going to tell you. He's not going to give you heads up when he's coming. But there are all kinds of signs that he can be here any moment. So live every day as though it's your last. Because one of them will be. I was just thinking, you know, I had this sickness and I had a cousin that I buried two weeks ago. In perfect health, maybe just a few years older than I am. Apparently had an apparent heart attack and just fell over dead. He was ready to go, thankfully. But you know what? The Lord didn't tell him necessarily. Maybe the Lord has a way of telling us about that in some ways. But it was unexpected. So live ready. Live ready. All right, we're going to go on a little further here. Let's go to 2 Kings 4 and 38. If you have it, read it for us. 2 Kings 4 and 38. Yes. So here we find out that there was a dearth or a famine in the land here. Where we just came from was a famine in the land. And this man got hungry. The prodigal son, he got hungry. All right. Now Elijah is talking about the sons of the prophet are setting before him. He said unto his servants, set on the great pot. Seed pottage for the sons of the prophets. One went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof of wild gourds his lap full and came and shran them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. They didn't know what they were, all right? So they poured out of the men to eat. It came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal. He cast it in the pot. He said, pour out for the people that they may eat. There was no harm in the pot. So now there was a famine in this land. And Elijah came to Gilgal, and he says here, and there was the sons of the prophets. So these were people that had some kind of dealings with God. They knew something about what God was able to do and what God did, and they were around it. Like, can we say maybe prophets or a preacher's children or something that they knew about God, all right? They were raised in the church, so to speak. People that were raised in the church, so to speak, here. And now he's saying, go out and get them something to eat. They're here. They're visiting us. Go out and get a pot, get the pot boiling, and give them something. So they went out, and they gathered some gourds and some vines. Now, we have to take into consideration that it is a famine, and things are not just, you don't have corn, and you don't have rice, and you don't have all the things that you would normally have, wheat. You don't have those things available to you, so you have to find what you can get. And so they went out, and in an innocent way, all they were doing was trying to get somebody something to eat and put it in a pot and bring it here. And he began to shred it up, and this gourd that we didn't know what it was, but it looked like food. There's a lot of things that look like food that's not edible. There are a lot of things that are that you have to cook a certain way. I don't know, poke salad and some other things. I think you got to cook it a certain way in order for it not to be dangerous. And there are some other things that you have that we can eat, but there's a certain way that you have to prepare it. Mushrooms, for instance. You go to mushrooms, a lot of folks, you got to know which mushrooms. If you're going out there and picking wild mushrooms, you need to know which ones will kill you and which ones don't. They look the same. And you can put them in the pot, and it's out of innocence. You're just throwing it in there. A mushroom is a mushroom. I thought it was all right. You're not trying to kill anybody. You're not trying to do something that's not right. And these, in innocence, went out, found something that they thought was edible, and they just began to put it in the pot and try to make it taste good for them because they were doing them a good service. And what we find out is what they put in that pot and what they were eating could kill them. It was innocent, though. And let me tell you, now, folks want to say, Brother Darrell, you're just too hard on this. You're too hard on this. You're always talking about religious books and going to the Christian bookstore and listening to the televangelists and the radio preachers and all that kind of stuff. You're always talking about being careful about that. My goodness, Christians are Christians. But Brother Darrell is going to say it anyway. And you know why I'm going to say it? Because in innocence, all you're doing is going out and gathering information in innocence. You're just trying, it's a famine in the land. I don't listen. And sometimes they give me some good, that was some good advice that such and such gave. But you need, these men were church people. Let's put it like that. Can I say that? They were grew up in the church. They grew up, they were sons of the prophets. They could discern that there was something in that pot that shouldn't have been in there. They could discern that something wasn't cooked right and something is not completely right. But what if they weren't sons of the prophets? What if they hadn't been raised in the church? What if they just took a little bit of this and a little bit of that and just threw it all in a pot and now you're boiling it and you're preparing to give it to somebody and you're killing them? And you don't even know it. You don't just go with any doctrine. Lord, help us. And you know, I know we're all home folks, but I believe this is why the Lord gives us this kind of a message at this particular time. You just can't go out there and gather anything up and bring it back and eat it. It'll kill you. So you have to have the discernment of the Lord. Lord, give me discernment to know what I'm eating, because maybe the reason I'm sick, maybe the reason I'm having heart trouble, maybe the reason I'm struggling right now is because of what I'm eating. What I've gone out and gathered innocently and I brought it back. Well, they say there's a millennial reign, and you know that kind of makes sense to me. They say that there are other doctrines and you can speak in tongues, and you know, I always wondered about that scripture. Or they say something else that you hadn't heard us speak. And you hadn't searched out in the Bible. All you're doing is gathering it and putting it in a pot and just kind of mixing it all together and just saying it's come from Christian. And there's death in the pot. I'm not saying, and I will not say, and I never have said, so don't let anybody say that I have, that you can't go to the Christian bookstore. I got all kinds of books from the Christian bookstore. But I know where the death is. I know where there's death in the pot. And if you're not there, don't try to do it. There was a book some time ago, I don't remember, Tenney. I don't remember what the name is. It was kind of circulating. It was several years ago, right among us. And somebody had read it, and one of the young people had read it, and they brought it to me and wanted me to read it. Something about fresh wind or fire, wind or something. I don't remember what the name of it was. And that was, it was just so inspiring to them. And so, you know, we need this. We need, and I'm excited when there is zeal. The Lord gives young people zeal because we need them. We need young people to have the zeal. But they read this book and they were all excited about somebody having a service for a week and the Lord just coming down. I'm putting the Lord in quotations. Coming down and just moving in the church and folks crying and falling out and all this kind of stuff. And it was all exciting and it just seemed like a move of God. And I read this and I thought, this ain't no move of God. And I began to give warning about it. I began to give warning about it. This is not, I see this is good, and we cut this out. And I'm telling you what, Brother Charles, I used to get books from him. Brother Charles Taylor, my pastor, my uncle, my friend, my mentor, my everything. You'd get some books from him, and you know what he'd do? There would be some good things in them, and then you'd see a big old black magic marker line through several, and of course, that made you want to read it. Black magic marker, do this, and you kind of putting it in the light and trying to see what they're saying here. And then he'd have, error. He'd have error written on the side. This is error. This is not right. And you'd have it marked out, and you're trying to read what it's saying, just so you'll, I don't know, when somebody tells you not to do something, that's what it makes you want to do it, right? But there's a reason for that. Now, the rest of the book was good, but that was death. We had to cut that part off because that part will kill you. Oh, brother, that's just the way y'all see it. That's just the way the Church of God does it. No, that's just the way it is. Lord, help us. All right, I've said that enough. All right. Did you read down to the 40th verse? Oh, yes, that's good enough. So he says, so the prophet had to go in there, and this is in essence what he did. In essence what he did, he went in and he marked those lines out through the mill in there, and he made it where it was edible. I'm not going to say everything that everybody teaches is inedible. But I want to say, be very careful what you eat. Because what you eat has everything to do with where your spiritual health is. All right? Now, I'm almost finished here. Let's go to Genesis 25, 29. Maybe 24. Genesis 25 and, 29.
And Jacob saw pottage.
Jacob saw pottage.
And Esau came from the field.
Esau came from the field. And he was faint. Have you noticed that everybody's hungry? Have you noticed that the prodigal son was hungry? These prophets, sons of the prophets, were hungry. You know what the scripture says about blessed are he that hunger and thirst after righteousness? All of us are hungry. How many of us are not going to go home after this service? And some of you probably wish I'd hurry up. Go home and eat. Go someplace and eat. Everybody's going to eat after church. Nine out of nine of us is going to eat after church, probably. So everybody's hungry. Everybody has something that they want to eat, something that will sustain them. So here is Esau is coming in. Read. He was faint. Esau said unto Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, that same red pottage, I am faint. Therefore it was named called Edom. Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? Yes. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. You're going to have to pay for it. If you go to a restaurant today, you're going to have to pay for what you eat. Just make certain it's not too much. Most of us won't go to, you know, Chatters is a good restaurant to go to. I'll plug them right now. They're a pretty good restaurant to go to because they're pretty inexpensive. The food is pretty good. But there are some restaurants like Popper Brothers or something, like you go and buy a steak, it's going to cost you $50, $60. I'm probably not going, I've been there once. Somebody gave me a gift certificate and I had to go and spend it, and I went and spent it. But I ain't been back since. You know why? Because it was too expensive. That food was too expensive. I could have bought a whole week's worth of groceries for that $100 that they gave me. But I appreciate it. That was several years ago. Here's the point. So here it is, this birthright had to be given in order to get a bowl of soup. That was too expensive. I'd have left that soup right there on the counter. But here's the point. He's faint. He's coming in. He's been working out there. He's been hunting, whatever he was doing. And the smell of it. Can you, the oregano and whatever else, the onions that he put in it, and you knew it tasted good. That was an appeal to the senses. Do you realize that the enemy appeals to our senses to get us to eat stuff that we should not eat? He knows. Have you ever noticed how they try to attract us by all of the senses? Do you ever think that it is just by accident that when you pass by a bakery you smell the bread? When you pass by a restaurant that you smell the food? I don't think that that's just by accident. I believe that there's something about the senses that causes us to want to have what they've got, and they know how to do it. Have you ever noticed this? I was at the bank not too terribly long ago, at one bank. It's not one of my banks, but I stopped. It was Inwood Bank, and they have a little popcorn machine. And I was sitting waiting on somebody to do a transaction that we were part of. And what they said is, when I was sitting by the little popcorn machine, you know, little like a kiosk that can roll it around, and I read the little fine print. They said, use a certain kind of product and pour this in, and it will cause, it'll make the smell, in essence what he was saying, the smell would go out and it would cause greater traffic in your area. So in other words, as those little popcorn, they're popping popcorn and the smell, and you put it in this little container right here, and they can smell the popcorn and they'll come and they'll buy it from you. All right? So they have this all set up to know how to get you to come by attracting you by the senses to get you to come and eat their product. All right? So here we have this. Continue to read. I'm at the point to die. What good shall this birthright do to me? Swear to me this day. Swear unto him. He sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread, pottage of lentils. He did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now here's the point I want to make. Every one of us, every single person that's ever been born,
has a right to go to heaven. Every one of us. No matter what circumstances you were born in, whether you were born in the jungle, whether you were born in the ghetto, whether you were born in the mansions, villas, you have a right to heaven. Every one of us. Jesus died to give that to you. And the only person that can prevent you from obtaining that birthright is you. No matter what you go through, no matter how difficult it is, you're the only person that can prevent you from making it to heaven. All right? God will make a way, even when there seems like there is no way. But what the devil will do, he'll appeal to your senses. He'll appeal to everything that he knows to appeal to get you to sell his birthright for something that is temporary on this earth. Some temporal thing, whether that's riches, whether that's beauty, whether that's fame, whether that's fortune, whatever it may be, whether that's status, I don't know what it would be, but he's got, sell me your birthright. You give me your birthright. You see, he did it for Christ. He tried to do it with Christ. He said, you see all this? I'll give you all this if you'll fall down and worship me. And do you know, you see people by the droves that are turning in their birthright for something that will last, they don't even know how long. The point is, you can't guarantee how long you're going to be a movie star. You don't know how long you're going to have your fortune. You don't know how long you're going to live. And you're selling it for a bowl of pottage? You're selling your right to heaven for that? Saints, don't let the devil do it. Folks here, don't let the devil sell you a bill of goods, a little bowl of something for something that's far more valuable. This is something that God will give you the pottage. You need something to eat. He'll give you something to eat. Lord, help us. All right, I'm moving toward our conclusion. There's one other scripture that I was going to read. Ezekiel, where he says to him, Son of man, eat the whole roll. And he began to eat it. When the Lord gives us something to eat, I'll just paraphrase it. It's Ezekiel 3, verse 1 through 3. When the Lord gives us something to eat, our response should be, Lord, I'll eat the whole roll. I don't want just a little bit of it, Lord, but I'll eat it. If you'll give me what I need to be able to eat it, I'm willing to do it. Give me a willingness to do this. All right? In addition to that, I want to say this. Going back to the prodigal son, and for the sake of time, I won't do that. He said he came to himself. And I think that there is no doubt that his father tried to talk him out of that adventure, but he just had to do it for himself. And you know, I feel like other people, maybe his brother, his mother, maybe other folks tried to talk him out of his adventure of going that way, have you? I know, as a pastor, I've tried to talk many people out of adventures, and it just hadn't worked. Sometimes I felt like if I can just talk to them, if I can just get them to see my point, and if I can just get them to see it, and I don't know, you reach out to them, and it still seems like they slap your hand and say, no, I've got to go on this adventure. I've got to do this and see what's out there. All right? And when they go out there and they do it, then you have to be there to pick them up. You have to be there to pick them up. I told you you shouldn't have gone out there. And you can't even say that. Sometimes the Lord won't let you say it. Sometimes the Lord won't let you say, it's okay, you're going to get through this. But you want to say, I told you not to do this in the first place. And now you're making me hurt because you're being rebellious and disobedient. But you can't do that, can you? You want to, but you can't. You can say, all right, we're gonna work through where we are now. What did the father do? The man had to come to himself. When he came to himself, you can't talk to folks until they're ready for you to talk to them. You know what I've learned the hard way? Is the best thing that you can do is pray for them. And when the Lord opens up the door for you to talk to him, then you talk to him. But sometimes we can just waste our breath. Because that boy had to see for himself what was out there. And we just pray that the Lord has mercy on them, or we pray that the Lord does something to break them and pull them back. And when he came back and he humbled himself before his father, what did his father say? Go get me a strap. I told you not to do that. He didn't do that, did he? He said, come. Put a ring on his finger, put a robe on his hand, and he said, you're my son. I love you. I want you. You can eat what I have. What I've prepared for you, you can eat at my table. And saints, that's what we have to do. For those that are going to go out there and going to do what they're going to do, we have to have our table prepared. We have to have it with something that doesn't have death in it. Something that's nourishing. Something that is beneficial for that person. Something that person needs. And something that's going to help them get through the struggles. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.